Welcome to the Laura Mayer Podcast, a podcast all about learning to walk in the mental, emotional, and relational freedom that Jesus provided for you. Thank you for joining me again today as we are wrapping up the series on the gift of restoration. This is part three. If you've not had a chance to go back and listen to the first two, I encourage you to do so. This has been a very fun topic for me as we've been diving into some of the gifts that come along with the fact that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. We've talked about the gift of rest, the gift of repentance, now the gift of restoration, and we'll just see where we go from here. But this has felt very important to slow down and take the time to go over some of these topics and just see how much, how all-encompassing our relationship with God is. I want us to really start seeing the covenant that we have with God and that we truly changed families. When we were born again and brought into the kingdom of light, you truly changed families. We changed operating systems, if you will. But today I want to start off with giving the definition of the word restoration. I realize I've not done that quite yet. And so this definition just came from, I believe I got it from the Webster's Dictionary. I didn't put that on there. But the definition of the word restoration simply means the action of returning something to a former owner, relationship, or a place or a position or a condition or state of well-being. So the returning of something to a former relationship, so maybe a relationship had been unhealthy or separated, the restoration of a place or a position, and the restoration of a condition or state of well-being. Where something maybe that used to be whole was broken, and restoration means to restore it back. We all love a good restoration show. I know I do. Where someone purchases an old home or a piece of furniture and restores it back to its former glory. Really appreciating the architecture, the details, the craftsmanship. Something that maybe somebody else would have just completely thrown away and said, that's too broken, that's worthless, it's not worth our time to even deal with that. You know, it takes a true craftsman to look at something for what it could be and not for what it currently is. And I believe that is exactly what your Heavenly Father does for you and I. He sees us, He sees the broken places, He sees the areas that need mending. He sees what needs fixed, but He's not scared off by that. He says, spend time with me, get in my presence, let me heal what's broken, let me restore what the enemy stole. Sometimes when bad things happen, we feel like that's a final verdict on our lives and that things will never get better from there. But that's not the gospel truth. The Bible is filled with stories and accounts of people when they surrendered to the Lord, when they gave up trying to fix things on their own and they let God step in and they made Him 100% Lord of their lives, then His hands are now free to work in their lives. And I think the same is true with you and I. I've often seen for a long, long time the pattern of our level of freedom is directly related to our level of surrender. Every time, the level that you surrender to is the level of freedom and restoration you get to walk in because you're trusting God to hold the pen of the writing of your story instead of having it in your own hands. There's a second part of the definition that I really liked as well too, and it says the return of a hereditary monarch to a throne, a head of state to government, or a regime to power. Just like we are sons and daughters of the King, whether we realize it or not, whether there were times in your life where you didn't remember who you were or even knew who you were. It makes me think of the story of the prodigal son. Yes, his father was a wealthy man enough that he had inheritance for his sons and had servants, a wealthy man and, you know, a leader probably within his community and all of those things. And the son went off and did his own life, living as though he wasn't the son of this great man. But when he came to his senses and he came back, he was fully restored. to his position within the family. What a beautiful picture of what God does with us. So last week I shared an excerpt from my journal, which is kind of a new thing. I've never done that on the podcast before. My journal is a place where I keep, well, really where I keep everything. I keep my own thoughts, my own Bible study notes. It's the notebook that I bring with me to church to take notes as I'm listening to another minister. And it's also a place where I write the things that the Lord is impressing upon my heart. Some things have to do just with my personal life. Some things are things that he speaks to me about the body of Christ as a whole, or maybe things that he's doing in the earth and things to be watching for. It's my prayer journal. It's the things when I feel like the Lord is leading me to pray about a certain thing, I'll write out those prayers. And so I can go back and I'll see the direction that the Lord has been leading me. And it's almost like clues he's given me on where he's taken me and where we're going. Even as far as growing of this ministry. So last week I shared some things that I had written in my notebook, and today I'm going to do the same thing. But this is actually a summarized version that I posted on my Facebook page back January the 6th, 2022. But it's from some things that the Lord spoke to me back in 2020. So actually about 3 years ago. So there was a morning I remember waking up, and it was early 2020, so the globe was under a pandemic. There was racial unrest and injustice in my own country of the United States of America. Bad things were happening everywhere. It seemed like every time you turned the news on, it was new bad news. But there was a morning that I woke up, and there was a sense of a shifting that had happened. There was nothing on the outside in my world that felt different, seemed different. But I remember in my spirit, listening with the ears of my spirit, if you would, just I'm sensing that something had shifted. And I remember in that time just asking the Lord, "Lord, what time is it? I feel like we've moved into a different space. What are you doing in the earth?" Because I've learned to say, you know, when the devil's doing a whole lot, to also say, "Okay, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you up to that the devil is trying to stop, circumvent, thwart, go around, all those things? What are you doing, God? Because I know you don't take your cues from the devil. He's afraid and he's trying to jump in front and mess up what you're doing." So I kept asking the Lord what season we were in, this shift that I was sensing. And as we talked over those next few days, I just really sensed him telling me that he had moved us into a time of restoration, that he had moved his children, he'd moved the body of Christ as a whole, he'd moved the world into a time of restoration. And I thought, well, that makes no sense. None of this looks like restoration. None of what I'm looking on the news, and there's so much fear everywhere, none of this looks like restoration. Now, let me pause here and share how we talked about it last week on the podcast, that restoration goes hand in hand with revival. And it's been in my heart so big over the last several years of the revival and the outpouring that I really believed was coming to the earth. And not that doesn't just come from me, that comes from some different ministers that I've heard speak, and then just also from the Word of God, of him pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh, and how his Spirit would cover the earth the way that the waters cover the sea. And I've spent some time reading books about the great outpourings and revivals of the past, just because I was hungry to see how God had moved then and curious to see how he was going to move next. So then he started talking to me about restoration, and that he had brought us into a season of restoration. And that felt very contradictory to me, based on what I was seeing with my natural eyes. And this is a reason why we cannot go by our natural eyes on things. We have to use our spiritual eyes and say, "Lord, what are you doing?" So God reminded me, though, that restoration looks different depending on whose side you've decided to be on. Restoration always involves a shaking of some sort, an undoing of what was old, of what used to bind, of what used to hold captive, in order for the restoration to happen. He reminded me that in the book of Exodus, the day that the Israelites left Egypt was a day of great restoration and rejoicing for Israel. But it was a day of mourning and loss for the Egyptians, those who had held God's people captive and who had benefited from having slaves for about 400 years, 400 to 500, I believe, years. The same is true that the day that God parted the Red Sea and the Israelites walked across on dry land, it was a day of salvation for them. But as soon as the Egyptians crossed behind them in that same pathway, that God let the Red Sea go back and it drowned all the Egyptians who had been chasing after to slaughter his people. The Lord reminded me of the story of the walls of Jericho, where it was a day of restoration and an answer to promises for the children of Israel, who God had said, "This is your land and go and take the city." But it was a day of destruction for those living in the city of Jericho. Those who chose to align themselves with God were experiencing restoration on these days, while others were experiencing destruction. So as the Lord was reminding me of all these stories, it started making a whole lot more sense why what my natural eyes were seeing as destruction, that if I would look with my spiritual eyes, that God was rearranging some things. He reminded me also of the day in the book of Esther, the day that Haman was hanged on the gallows, and orders were given that the Israelites could defend themselves and slaughter whoever came against them. Restoration looks different depending on whose side you've chosen to be on. Restoration looks like justice, exposure of darkness, a righting of wrongs, a retribution and paying back for those who have been victimized. God is a God of restoration. Before I share this next part, I want to give a little bit of context. And because I debated whether even sharing this part or not. But the demographic of people that the Lord has me ministering to most often are the broken, the wounded, the abused, the addicts, those who have lived a lot of story that other people would never dream of living. And oftentimes I work with women who are in very toxic and even abusive relationships and situations. And some of these women have been led to believe that they have to stay with their abuser in spite of the fact that he has an unrepentant heart and has no plans to change. Religion, culture, whatever, has told them that because they married him, that they are now stuck and that's their life sentence, to be abused and mistreated. I would argue that this is not the covenant picture that God originally designed for marriage, and that God never wants his children to stay in abuse, and that God allows for separations and divorces when it comes to abuse, abandonment, and adultery. So I wanted to give that little caveat. This is the demographic that I work with a lot. So after he started talking to me about what restoration looked like, depending on whose side you've chosen to be on, he went on to start speaking about this season that he brought us into, and he got real specific, and he said, "Not to be surprised when I heard about divorces, even within the church. To not judge from the outside what I couldn't see from the inside. That God was declaring restoration and he was releasing faithful hearts from people who could never choose to change or who would never choose to change. The faithful innocents were being set free, no longer bound to stay. Their time of staying was over and he was restoring their years, much like he did for the Israelites leaving Egypt. But by the same token, that there would be hearts that would choose to change and repent, that God was escalating their restoration as well, and that marriages that people had prayed for years would finally heal. The difference here is hearts, and only God knows hearts. I've already begun to see this play out, and I rejoice over justice and restoration, the same way that our Heavenly Father rejoices over justice and restoration. I want to share with you what the Lord shared with me last January about some personal things in my own life. I was at a place of decision where I felt like I was caught between a rock and a hard place, and I didn't know which decision to make. It felt like an either or decision, that it was between two options, and neither of these options were going to be painless. Each were going to be excruciatingly painful, and each of them were going to affect people I loved dearly. And I went before the Lord and just said, God, what do I do? What do I do? This is not an easy place to be in, and I need help from heaven on knowing which path to take, because if I choose wrong, there's going to be a lot of destruction. And this is what the Lord shared with me. He said that my job was just to dance with Him, to lock eyes with my Heavenly Father so strong, and that He was going to take for me the particular situation that I was in. He was going to take it out of my hands, and that I wasn't going to have to make a decision. That my decision at every fork in the road, every time that something came up with this specific situation, was to remind myself my only job was to dance with my Heavenly Father and to go and spend time with Him and to make the small incremental adjustments and changes as He said to not worry about the big overall choice, but instead to make the daily choice of listening to Him, following Him, obeying His words. He reminded me, and I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast before, this analogy, but He reminded me of this time where years ago when I was in college, I worked at a little gift shop, and our Christmas party that year was with not only the people that worked at the gift shop, but the owner's friends. And the owners and most of their friends were old enough that they could have been my grandparents. But it was a lot of fun that night. And there were a few others, college age students there that night that also worked at the gift shop. But the music they were playing was not of, you know, my generation at all. And the couples were getting up and basically ballroom dancing around the room. And it was fascinating because I didn't know how to dance like that. And my boss, Mr. Bill, came over to the table and said, Laura, do you want to dance? And I said, oh, Mr. Bill, I don't know how to dance. I didn't know how to do what they were doing. It looked so fancy and complicated. And he said, that's okay. I know how. Well, I trusted Mr. Bill. And if he trusted that, you know, that he could teach me what to do, or he wasn't, you know, shy with the fact that I didn't know what I was doing. So I just decided to trust him, and why not? Let's give it a shot. So as he started explaining, as he put his arms and hands where they were supposed to go, and he explained where my arms and hands were supposed to go, and we started to move with the music, I kept looking down. I was trying to anticipate ahead of time where his feet were going to step so that I could step where he was stepping. And I was getting us all jumbled up. I kept stepping on his feet. He kept stepping. It wasn't working. It wasn't working at all. Me still trying to be in control. Me still trying to be the one to anticipate the next move. And Mr. Bill said, Laura, quit looking at my feet. Look at my face. When you feel my weight shift, shift with me. But just look at my face. Look in my eyes. So I trusted him. And I didn't look at my feet, even though my feet were the thing that were going to be carrying me where I needed to go. And within just a few minutes, I was dancing, and it was so fun, and he was so right. All I had to do was look in his face, stay close to him, and shift when he said to shift. And I learned to dance that night. God reminded me of that with his invitation to just dance with him through all of last year. To not try to look down at my feet and anticipate what my next move needed to be or should be or could be or what God was going to do next. To take my hands off of every bit of that and instead lock eyes with my Savior and shift when I felt him shift, move when I felt him move, to be led by my peace and not by fear, and that he was going to dance me into a new space And he impressed upon my heart that not only would he dance me into a new space, but that I wouldn't be able to fully explain how I got there. Because I hadn't been busy looking at the scenery, I would have been so busy looking at my Jesus. And I want to tell you that a year and a few months later, that's exactly what I did all last year. And God did exactly what he promised he would do. He danced me into a new space that I can't even explain and put words to how it all happened. Yeah, there's a few things that I'm beginning to understand what God did and how he did it and why he did it. But it was a safe process, even though it wasn't painless. It's been a safe process because I've been in the arms of my Jesus. And I'm seeing restoration. I'm seeing the restoration that happens when hearts are turned toward God. But only he knew the hearts involved. And instead of making me the heart judger, he said, just dance with me and I'll handle the hearts. And he's bringing restoration in areas that I thought were hopeless. So I just want to encourage you that God's will is always restoration. It may not look like what you think it's going to look like if you anticipate what the ending's going to be. But if you will just hang close to him, stay in his arms, he will lead you to a good place. You are only responsible for your heart. You cannot manage what other people choose to do or not do. But the season we are in, if you will just stay close to your Jesus, follow him, you will be okay. And he will perfect and bring to wholeness everything that concerns you. Psalms 138:8. And I want to leave you with just a few scriptures, because I think there's so much power in the word of God. Don't take my word for this. Stand on his word for this. So I just want to leave these verses with you. These are some verses that have meant so much to me, ones that have poured life and belief into me, and I want to leave them with you. Luke 4:18-19, where Jesus explains why he came and stood up in the temple to declare, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound." In Joel 2:25-26, it says, "And I will restore or replace to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the crawling locust, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame." Psalms 147:3. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow." And Isaiah 40:31. "But those who wait on the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired." Thank you for joining me on the Laura Mayer podcast. Join me here next week, where we will continue learning that being His means being free.